The four-day pause in the fighting in Gaza, which begins Friday morning, will set off a flurry of activity in the region. CBS's Linda Kenyon has details.
The temporary ceasefire will allow for the release of the first group of hostages held by Hamas, while hundreds of trucks will make their way into Gaza.
We have launched 326 trucks full of food, nutrition for children, shelter, including tents and personal items.
Abdullah bin al-Rabia is an advisor to the Saudi royal court.
Medications and medical supplies and 20 ambulances.
He hopes this is just the beginning.
The number of trucks going are very limited.
That number, he says, should be doubled. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
In the West Bank, protests are underway. CBS's MTS Tayeb is there and explains why.
They march through the streets of Ramallah, shouting the deal between Israel and Hamas isn't enough. They want to see an end to the war on Gaza completely and the release of all Palestinian prisoners.
Thousands have pounded the pavement in Northern California to help fight hunger. CBS Sacramento reporter Rachel Wolf.
Sacramento Food Bank's annual run to feed the hungry broke records, drawing more than 31,000 on its 30th anniversary.
I think there's a misconception that people don't work that need food programs. Quite the contrary. I mean, we're seeing more and more dual income folks that just simply can't make ends meet.
In the Midwest, there are some options this holiday for those having trouble putting food on the table.
I'm Bruce Marcus in Eagle River, Wisconsin, where a local church and other nonprofits hold a community Thanksgiving on the holiday. Volunteers prepare a full meal with turkeys and all the fixings. It's free and open to everyone. Pastor Lawrence Glenn is one of the organizers.
Food's great. They get to meet a lot of people from the community, and we get to meet people that we wouldn't see otherwise.
Tom Palmer attends these community meals.
And you never know what you say to somebody that can impact their life in a positive way.
Black Friday has been a holiday tradition in the U.S. for decades. Now it's growing in popularity in other nations, even those that don't have a Thanksgiving on their calendar. Heinz Ofert, who hails from Germany, was shopping this week in Santa Barbara, California, and explains.
Similar thing. They are just starting to have a similar day on the same day. But not everybody knows what Black Friday is, so it's, well, different and similar at the same time.
Speaking of shopping, more Americans are expected to buy now and pay later for the holidays. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
7 Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The gun deer season in Wisconsin is heading into its final weekend. A proposed bill in the state legislature aims to curb the spread of chronic wasting disease. Democratic Representative Katrina Shankland is proposing $2 million for carcass disposal sites and $100,000 to teach hunters about the brain wasting disease and why it's important to dispose of carcasses properly. Today's a big day in Greendale. The high school band is marching in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City. The Greendale Band is one of just six high school bands from around the country to have the honor this year. It's the second time the Marching Panthers are appearing in the Macy's Parade. The last time was in 2016. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 12 overnight under clear skies, northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. High of 31 tomorrow. A dusting of snow Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 23.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great
article. Where are the rapids in Wisconsin Rapids? A stretch of water through the city was once called Two-Sided Rapids as it split around a huge boulder. But in this particular area, the boulder and rapids were lost due to dams being built with the goal of capturing the river's power in the early 20th century. For locally grown radio, WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
More brutal.
Couldn't cut, and he cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Yeah, hey, we have our friend Kevin Abarask, and he is deputy manager editor of ICT News, and we've asked him to come on and talk a little bit about the holidays. And I'm wondering if you and Haley can have a quick discussion on the holidays. We really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Yes, thank you, Kevin. So Kevin Abarask is of Rosebud Sioux, and you are the deputy managing editor for ICT News. Yeah, we've had just a lot of allies and a lot of people kind of reaching out to see how they can support us during this holiday and this holiday of Thanksgiving, which maybe some of us refer to as Thanks-taking. I know, Dega, that's probably your favorite word to use. But yeah, maybe we can talk a little bit about what Thanksgiving means to us and kind of the thoughts that come to mind when we think about this holiday.
Sure. That sounds good. Yeah. Appreciate you having me, first of all. And it's always good to join Native Roots Radio and, you know, happy to share some thoughts. Yeah, I guess to start off, I would just say that, you know, I don't think of Thanksgiving as a time to, you know, recognize the 1621 feast between the English settlers and the Wampanoag people. And the reason is because of what happened after that, correct? I mean, it's you know, this feast, you know, and I know there's some conflict or some controversy over the feast and whether it happened and kind of the details of it. But, you know, if you are to believe there was such a feast, in any case, it was followed by centuries of forced relocation, cultural assimilation, removal of Native children from their homes and into Catholic boarding schools, broken treaties, you know, murder of Native people, massacres like Sand Creek and Wounded Knee. So when I think about that kind of, you know, cultural exchange, if it actually happened, And it was then followed by what I would describe as one of the greatest betrayals in world history. That's not something I want to celebrate. That's not something that I want to commemorate in any way. And I don't, you know, Thanksgiving for me, it has become a time to celebrate more than anything the fact that that we as Native people are still here, you know, that we still exist on these lands, and that in many ways our culture is thriving, our people are finding new ways to become economically self-sufficient, and our children are finding hope again, you know, in the future. And so these are things that I celebrate. This is what I think of, you know, when I think of Thanksgiving. I think about my family. I think about, you know, my community and what all these things mean to me and how thankful I am for them. But I don't think about that 1621 dinner.
Yeah, well, it's a good time to have dinner and have family and be thankful for your family. But all those things, I always like calling it Thanks-taking. I joke about that, but it's a real thing, Kevin. I mean, there's a lot of trauma that's handed down, and from me being a young person and seeing all these kind of things that are disturbing and growing up with, there's a little bit of trauma with us older people too.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I can see that. And, you know, we talk about intergenerational trauma and just kind of, you know, the fact that our children are born into this, realizing what was taken from us, you know, what we lost over the generations. It's something that we're just simply born into, and we carry forth each generation. Even my children, I live off a reservation now, and you know, you wouldn't think necessarily that my children would be experiencing this loss that our people suffered, but they do, you know, they know, I mean, because they tell them, because, you know, I educate them, these types of things. And just because I think we carry it in our bones. I think we carry it in our blood. You know, I think to some extent, you know, this trauma we've experienced, is indelibly a part of us. And, you know, it's just passed along as we go along.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is in our blood. And yeah, we do feel it. And we hear all the stories of what happened. And I think too, maybe learning about, you know, your specific states, tribes, and learn their history, and maybe learn your treaties that, you know, were broken where you live or where you reside, and learn that history and take time to remember all of the things that happened in the past and haven't been talked about. From someone, how would someone go about, maybe who was raised doing a traditional Thanksgiving? So like myself, I have family members on my mother's side who are European descent, and they do a very traditional Thanksgiving, and this is how it's been the whole time I've grown up. And for someone who would like to maybe decolonize themselves a little bit, what would you suggest someone does to maybe do things a little differently this year or going forward in a good way?
Sure. It's a good question. One of the things I always suggest to people who ask this question or something similar is just first of all, get to know the place where you live, you know, find out who are the original inhabitants of the land you now call home, where you work. You know, learn about these tribes. Who were they? How they live? Where are they today? A lot of times these tribes have been removed, especially if we're talking about, you know, cities and other, you know, urban places. Almost inevitably, the tribes that lived on those lands have been placed somewhere else. So get to know, you know, where they are today, and start to find ways to honor, you know, and not just through land acknowledgments either, you know, just find other ways to reconnect to these people, reconnect them perhaps to their land. You know, there's all kinds of ways that you can help out Native people besides just giving, you know, a simple land acknowledgement or something like that. You know, you can pay to an honor tax in some places. You know, you can essentially pay a tax to the people who once lived on the land you call home, And these type of things are popping up all over. You know, you see them in Minnesota, Minneapolis. You see them in the Bay Area, you know, Oregon, the Portland area, I believe, has one as well. So these things are popping up all over, more and more each year. And there are plenty of other ways to help Native people, you know, just and the sort of ultimate thing you can do to think about is give some land back, you know, or find some way to get your community to you know, give back some part of what their ancestors took from us. You know, I always heard this story. Well, I heard this story not long ago about this this Native elder who had spoke at a conference out east, and you know, he talked about land back and this movement that's going on. And somebody in the audience afterward came up to him and said, "Well, you know, why should I have to pay the price for my grandfather stealing a horse from you know, your people, your ancestors?" And the elder responded, and he said, "You know, well, you still have the horse." To me, that always sort of encompasses. We hear that a lot, right? Like, why should I have to pay for my ancestors' sins? Well, you're benefiting from those sins today. You know, you continue to benefit from those sins. So,
absolutely. Hey, we're here with Kevin Abrask and Haley Cherry, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Kevin Abrask, and we really appreciate Kevin coming by, and he's the deputy manager editor of ICT News. And Haley and Kevin are talking a little bit about our holiday coming up here, and you know, it's ironic that Friday will be Black Friday. We go from Thanksgiving to Black Friday, it's sometimes we're talking about it. Sometimes, Haley, a hard time for us this time of year.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Friday, I don't even see that as Black Friday anymore, because in my mind, that is Native American Heritage Day. So I celebrate that. And I know in my family, we will be doing our own little native take on Thanksgiving. And we're going to be doing our own meal with our native traditional dishes in our family. So I'm looking forward to that. But yes, we are here with Kevin Abrazak, and he is the deputy managing editor for ICT News. And we're just chatting about the holiday coming up and the long weekend that we're all looking forward to. And I'm hoping, Kevin, that we can share maybe, I don't know what you guys do in your family, but I'm hoping we can kind of just share some alternatives and what we do instead in Native families during this holiday.
Sure. Yeah, you know, one of the things that we have done, this is going to be a little different this year, but, you know, what we've done in the past is, you know, gather as a family, and we just go around the table and talk about, you know, what we're thankful for. And that's something that is kind of a tradition in our family, really, about every night. But this is always a special time here to just think about that. I think, you know, being grateful is something that's important to do and something important to pass along to children. One of the things I typically do as well, though, the day before Thanksgiving, I almost always go to Sioux City, Iowa. And there's a march there that a good friend of mine, the late Frank Lemire, would host every year, called the March for Lost Children. And this is a march held, you know, just to honor all of the children who have been lost in the foster care system. So I'll typically attend that, and oftentimes I'll even report on it for whatever news publication I'm working for at the time. And I'm not going to be able to make it this year, unfortunately.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
The great Frank Lemire, too. I know he passed on a few years ago, and he's our Ho-Chunk Winnebago relative. That'd be great to hear a little bit background on him, that he's gone but not forgotten.
Yeah, absolutely. Frank Lemire was a longtime Native American activist from the Winnebago tribe of Nebraska. He worked for years to really try to address, I guess, the removal of the kind of the mass removal of Native children from Native homes and into non-Native families, I guess, in Iowa primarily, but all over. That was one of his big pushes. He was a Democratic Party activist for many years, established the Native American Caucus within the Democratic Party, and served as vice chairman of the Nebraska Democratic Party. One of his greatest accomplishments, though, was I would say he was one of the key people who helped shut down the beer stores in White Clay, Nebraska.
Yeah.
White Clay was a little, border town to Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. And White Clay, Nebraska was where four beer stores sold about 4 million cans of beer to the Pine Ridge Reservation, which is dry. And Frank was a key person who helped shut those beer stores down.
Yeah, and I was able to go to the Frank Lemire presidential caucus with all the presidential candidates, and got to know met his daughter and got to meet his whole family, and what a rock star he was in all the Native community, not just Ho-Chunk Winnebago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He was just one of the greatest orators I've ever known in Indian country, and just had a way of connecting to people that few people really have. He just always spoke from the heart. He always would, just get to know everybody in the room and get to know them very well. And just one of those kind of once in a generation kind of leaders, I think, for the Winnebago people, and really all of us here in Nebraska. So.
Yeah, Haley. He was an amazing person. He's one of our relatives.
Well, the more you know. I mean, we have some really cool relatives, don't we, Dega?
Yeah, we sure do.
Well, yeah, I know probably I want to do something a little bit different this year. I don't know if anyone else has done this, but I would like to go. I'm a big hiker. I like the trails around here, my county trails or state parks. I would really like to go. I don't even know if it's allowed, but can we smudge the land? Can we smudge a trail? Can we walk and do something like that? Because, I think it's not only us that has been affected by colonialism and all of this, but also the nature and our plants. And I think they feel it too, honestly. And I would just like to give back to them and heal them a little bit and let them know we're still here with them.
Smudging and dropping tobacco are really, really good things. Remember Ho-Chunk with the flat cedar. Kevin, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that's be a great thing to do, to honor the land, honor, what we take from the land, I think is always important to do as well. So anything we can do as far as that goes is always a good thing.
Yes, I would love to incorporate some music too. I think just really incorporating yourself and your family and the culture and not just thinking about the pain and the trauma that comes with it during these specific holidays, but also thinking about our wins and how we are thriving now and how we can overcome the generational trauma and bring back the generational healing. And Native American Heritage Day, so a great day to be with family and relatives.
Yeah, before we get going, Kevin, I'd really love you to be able to tell our audience how they can read what you are the editor of and how people can get in touch with you and check it out.
Yeah, thank you, Albert. I work for ICT News, formerly Indian Country Today. The website is ictnews.org. And if you'd like to find my work, you can just search my name, Kevin Aberesk. I actually just wrote a story this week about the need to move beyond land acknowledgments and include a number of ways that people can help out Native people, give back to the communities that their ancestors took so much from. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and we agree. We joke around a lot that the land acknowledgement is not for us. We know whose land it is. It's for our white allies and people out there. And then there's more to it that people can do. Like you said earlier in the first segment, that we could possibly give us some land back, you know, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Haley, do you got any more questions for Kevin? Because I know he's a plethora of a lot of information here.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, I think I was reading something off ICT News, or maybe it was you guys, but the gerrymandering in North Dakota. Did you see the different, the relocation of the territories for voting, for voters?
You know, I know just a brief bit about that, but not enough to really speak in depth about it. I apologize.
Well, that's no problem. We feel bad though, because our friend Ruth Buffalo got gerrymandered right out of her seat, but she's still doing great work and stopping by Native Roots Radio every once in a while and giving us an update on what she's doing. But it was sad to see that happen. But now I don't know, Haley, what the courts can do now the election's over and slapping people on the hands or changing back the original boundaries. I don't, what did the article say? Do you know?
You know, it just said, and sorry, this was from the Native American Rights Fund. This was an article from November 17th. The title is "Victory: Court Blocks North Dakota Voting Map That Discriminated Against Native Voters." So a federal judge ruled that North Dakota's legislative maps discriminated against Native voters by denying them an equal voice in our democracy. The ruling comes after the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians, a Spirit Lake tribe, and individual Native voters challenged the maps under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act for illegally diluting the Native vote. So, I mean, yeah, if you look at the election results in North Dakota, I think that is very clearly visible.
Great.
Yeah, it, Kevin, it's just, we're not surprised. Our neighbors, Wisconsin, are gerrymandered unbelievably. We just got to keep on bringing up this news and the great job that your organization and prior organization do about keeping us updated. We really want to give a big shout out and appreciation of the work you've been doing for years and years and years.
No, I appreciate that, really. Just briefly, though, I'd say that, you know, gerrymandering affects us, too, here in Nebraska. The Winnebago tribe itself was redistricted out of what was once a pretty heavily Democratic district where they had a lot of weight, a lot of pull, and moved into a largely conservative district where, you know, their votes are just kind of being lost. So, yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much. And Haley, great job as always. Really appreciate you guys. Kevin Abarask, Deputy Manager Editor of ICT News, stopping in. Thank you so much, Kevin. Have a great long weekend. Ho-wah.
Thank you.
Hey, we'll be right back, Haley, right after this short break.
Yes, stay with us. Up next, we are back, and we're excited to welcome back Nancy Beaulieu of Leech Lake.
Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Airstrikes continue over Gaza. The last fighting before a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is scheduled to take effect. Family members of hostages Hamas kidnapped from Israel October 7th gathering in Tel Aviv for a vigil. Shalom aleichem. 13 hostages, women and children, set to be released in the morning. Oscar Pistorius could be granted parole on Friday after nearly 10 years in prison for killing his girlfriend. Emergency management officials in Kentucky say a chemical fire at a train derailment has been extinguished, and they've lifted the evacuation orders.
There's absolutely no intention of us to cut and run.
Joe McCann with CSX Rail says the company's dedicated to supporting the community in the long run. Forecasters say a storm system will move into the Midwest Sunday.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. Egypt says more than 34,000 gallons of diesel and four trucks of gas will be delivered to Gaza when a four-day pause starts Friday. 200 trucks of aid are expected to enter Gaza daily. Saudi royal court advisor Abdullah bin Al-Rabiya.
Our biggest challenge is that those trucks need to go through Rafah corridor. The challenge that the number of trucks going are very limited.
Former State Department official Stuart Seldowitz is charged with a hate crime after being caught on video launching into an Islamophobic rant against a New York City food cart vendor, CBS's Roxana Saberi.
Seldowitz had been a career State Department official and also worked for the Obama administration as acting director for South Asia at the National Security Council.
Giving back this holiday, a church in Eagle River, Wisconsin, holds a free community Thanksgiving open to everyone. Pastor Lawrence Glenn.
It's just an attempt to try to help people in the community who might need some help and to be there for people who might be lonely.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A fugitive is now formally charged with the death of his 12-year-old son, whose decomposing body was found in a home in Milwaukee last month. The Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office filed reckless homicide charges this week against Romuan Moy. No one is sure exactly when Jackery Robinson died or how. Meanwhile, Moy is on the run and there's a warrant out for his arrest. Prosecutors in Wisconsin may Sunday get more time to file sexual assault charges. Republican Senator Andre Jacques is introducing a bill to extend the statute of limitations for sex crimes in Wisconsin from 10 years to 20. Jacques says prosecutors in other states have 20 years to press sexual assault charges. A similar bill passed the state Senate last year but stalled in the Assembly. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 12 overnight, under clear skies, northwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. High of 31 tomorrow. A dusting of snow Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 23.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in. And one.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Takes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He had it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Kripescast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, there's New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to L.A. Like, if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Kripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you asking the court to do something that spells out a school funding formula?
This is not about the school finance formula itself. It's about the voucher programs. It says to create a system of public schools. It doesn't say anything about creating two parallel systems and sucking the money out of the public school system and providing it to the private school system, which is what is happening.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Colonialism so much, and it's like, let's not bring ourselves there too much. We want to revisit who we are, move past land acknowledgments to reassert who we are and claim space and protect our culture and our way of being.
Absolutely, and it's great to see you. You look great, sound great, and we've missed you here on Native Roots Radio, and it's great because we're treaty people, and I know your work on treaty these past few years are really still needed up there, and still you are still working on it, so it's great to have you back.
Right, and you know what, Robert, we really never went anywhere. Just kind of, you know.
Oh, from my show, I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm really excited to be here. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And again, you know, part of the work that we do is for, you know, the treaty, the 1855, most importantly, I'll speak to right now is that not once during any treaty signing did we ever surrender our right to hunt, fish, gather, and occupy in ceded territory. So take, for example, the sugar bush they wanted to cut down. We went down. We did a sugar bush, and DNR was wondering if we were there to protest and get a citation. I was like, no, we're just being Anishinaabe in a sugar bush, and that isn't a crime at all. So what we need to do, again, is just find the strength and the courage to go out into these places and bring your family, your community, and reclaim those spaces, you know, in a good way. And do sugar bush, do Manomi camps, whatever it be, you know, collecting medicine, collecting berries, and hold space. And so a big part of our new org is to continue the work that we do, asserting our treaties and ceded territory, and protecting our natural resources. And right now we know here in the state of Minnesota, our Manoman is under a threat right now, and because of climate change. And, you know, that Manoman is so important to us. It's a part of who we are. It's in our DNA, and it's our first food and our last food that we'll eat, you know, as we enter this world and as we journey. So again, I think the work that we do is only a testament of how resilient we are. And we want to inspire other people to show up and do the good things, you know. And I think the biggest part about, you know, being in this movement and being present is learning our way, you know, those teachings as well. Because, you know, coming home from Standing Rock, I was just a res girl, didn't know hardly anything, you know, in regards to our culture. And I think it helped bring me back to my roots and understand, you know, those teachings and why they're important to us. So a big thing is, you know, that community and individual responsibility. How do we show up? You know, how do we walk with good hearts, and how we show up with good intentions? And so in our new org, we have a community agreement, and that community agreement really protects everybody that's in that space. And it creates a place where we feel heard, respected, you know, and having difficult conversation when things aren't going so well, because again, we're stronger together. And Robert, I've said this many times, when we stand together, we don't stand alone. So I think working on that community agreement, learning from the past and what we can do better, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy. And we really appreciate the hard work, Nancy, that you've been doing. And it's so needed. And I'm glad you're still doing it. And I know we've missed you here on Native Roots Radio. So we're really, Haley, really happy to have Nancy back.
Yes, I know. Well, I was just thinking too, it's so good to see your face. If anyone's watching our stream here on Facebook or YouTube, Yeah, come say hi. Come message. Come comment on here. It's great to see Nancy. I know we have a lot of really great guests, but I always love when we have a great guest who's on that is female. So I always love chatting with you, Nancy, in our conversations. Just kind of touching on Thanksgiving too, and getting back to the good things, and doing things in a good way. Are there any other traditions that you have maybe changed or maybe made more personal to our culture around Thanksgiving? What are some traditions that you like to do on this holiday?
Actually, I kind of ditched the holiday completely and kind of just going to spend the day beating and reflecting on what I can do to be better at, you know, showing up and building that awareness. Because again, you know, part of our vision is to have community education and awareness in our relationship with our inherent rights and treaties. So I guess, you know, Thanksgiving is just another day to me, but each and every day I have to wake up and be proud that I'm Indigenous, because every day, you know, we do. And I think recognizing the wrongs of this country and trying to figure out what we can do better collectively is a big part of what we do in our space. So we like to empower our communities through education and relationships, and trying to find a way to balance our culture in today's world by utilizing traditional and cultural approaches. So we want to get better at doing this every day, not just on a particular, you know, time of the year, or, you know, during fall harvest or winter solstice, those kind of things. We want to do this every day, because I think, you know, we only get more educated, and we all know that knowledge is power. And I think it's really important that our people understand that the people are the power, that sovereignty is inherent collectively. It's our power. And we have to remind the United States that they have that ongoing in perpetuity obligation to honor those treaties. And again, we're going to keep showing up, not just on the front lines. We're going to be in the political arena. I am the director and outreach officer for the DFL organizing unit here in northern Minnesota. And Robert, what was interesting about that interview was they asked me if I identify as DFL. And I said, no, I identify as Anishinaabe. And I'm here because treaties are nonpartisan. And we're going to spoon feed you all on how to be good treaty people. So I think showing up and holding spaces and in most places where people don't feel comfortable is the best place to be.
Absolutely, Nancy. Haley, we are so happy to have Nancy back on with the, it's always been really great energy, Haley and Nancy, right?
Yeah, I always learned so much from Nancy too, you know, kind of just growing up with in a family who's carried on maybe the trauma of things and not really the healing traditional stuff. I feel like I just learned so much from you, Nancy. And for some of our listeners, can you just briefly kind of remind them maybe what sugar bushing is?
Well, it's when we come together as a community in this early spring, and we actually set up a camp, and it's a time where we be thankful to the Creator for these gifts that are out there for us. And during that time, I think what's most important, you know, in my experience at Sugarbush, is the sense of community, the sense of healing, you know, and I think that's really important. And a lot of people just look at the end product, the syrup, right? But it's everything, all the love and all the energy and all the sweat that go into that. And I think, you know, when we come into these spaces, it's not just the goal to get syrup, it's to build community and remind ourselves that we are a resilient people, and we're going to continue to exist and protect our natural resources. So we're actually already talking about getting ourselves prepared for Sugarbush. It's only 4 months away, and it's going to come fast. Yeah. So when we get the website up, we're going to have links for you guys to come find us. And we're really excited about getting our website launched and calling on our relatives and our allies to continue to hold space with us and on the front line in a sugar bush. At a voting poll, Robert, because voting still matters.
Absolutely. And wow, we have less than a year For our presidential election coming up, and then we just had an election. We just got to keep pushing forward and not listen to these polls. The polls are always wrong because, Nancy, they're not interviewing somebody like Haley, who's a Gen Z, who doesn't have a landline and pick up and tell who they're going to vote. It's ridiculous, and we just got to move forward. And you did that great work of Rock the Vote Native style, and you guys got 9,000 people registered up in all the tribes up there. That was huge in a couple cycles ago, and just a great work and keeping those things in the forefront.
Right, and I want people to understand that we were a diplomatic people before these Europeans showed up, and they actually adopted our way of doing a quote-unquote government, even though we referred to it as clan system. But again, if you don't play, you know, we're going to lose, and we're going to show up in numbers and vote and protect who we are and continue to build healthy relationships with our elected officials and our relatives who are holding office. So again, show up and remember, your vote is your voice, and collectively we can win. And that's what I thrive for moving into 2024. And Robert, really quick, I know I'm running out of time. We are going to have a table at the state convention next year, a treaty delegation, and Native Roots Radio is invited.
Hey, why don't you stick on for just a little bit longer and howl with us on the next segment, Nancy?
Sure.
Right on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and Haley and I will be right back with Nancy Bolio. Ho-wah! Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Oh, I heard you, Nancy. That's right on. Hey, we're with Nancy Bolio, one of my favorite water protectors of all time and climate hero. Thank you so much for stopping in with Haley and us, and we only have another day before Thanksgiving is coming up. And so we've been talking about how we're spending it. And, you know, Wendy and I are just going to be low key and have some vegan turkey and take it from there and just enjoy each other and not do too many things.
Right. Kind of sitting here too, Robert. And I think, you know, it's going to take some practice and, you know, getting our people to understand why re-indigenizing is important. And, you know, for those of our relatives celebrating Thanksgiving, you know, I don't think of them any less. And
right.
I just hope that someday, you know, they catch on like, you know, some of us already have. And, you know, so I'm not here to shame anybody for that, but I'm going to spend a day making some beautiful art and, you know, kind of that's, you know, art is therapy too. And it's really a form of self-expression for me, and it keeps me out of the, you know, the casino for the most part.
Well, you got to play to win, you know, you got to remember that you got to play to win.
Yeah. So anyways, you know, just before the show started, WCCO was made an announcement, and I didn't get to catch it all, but tomorrow at 7 o'clock, there's a segment on, protecting our water and the Monoman, and it's going to talk about what tribes and what groups, what they're doing to protect that. And I put that on my calendar, Robert. I really want to pay attention to that, because these again could be allies. We could reach out to them and build on it, and that's why these kind of things are shared with our public, is to build that awareness. And this is a good way to learn the state of our water here in Minnesota and what is being done to protect the Monoman. Because again, the Monoman is actually one of the first indicators of how the environment is doing. So it kind of foretells the health of the surroundings, and it also sustains our relationship with the Creator.
Absolutely.
And just for our listeners too, when Nancy refers to Monoman, that is our wild rice.
Yes, and we love our wild rice. We're excited, you know, for the upcoming year. I think there's going to be a lot of good things happening, a lot of things, Nancy, that you've been building on as an organizer all these years, and you're so well known across Turtle Island. So I'm excited to see what brings forth in your work. And yeah, we're excited to have you back on Native Roots Radio. I know a lot of people love listening to you, and I know we do.
Oh, you know, it's a good feeling to be here, Robert. And I have to say what's really, really key to our work. It's like, you know, that individual and community responsibility, walking with a good heart, showing up with good intentions and holding each other accountable. And I think that's key to building healthy relationships along many fronts, you know, not just with our relatives, but with our neighbors, with our elected officials, people that are running for office, our sheriffs, our...
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Three Eastman here in northern Minnesota, that was a perfect example of how we collectively with our allies held space and honored our treaties. And through our time there, Robert, those 8 days, we actually educated the sheriff of Clearwater County, Darren Halverson, and he was actually on our side. And so now our sheriff in Beltrami County has talked with Clearwater County, and he says, I know you guys are good people, because Darren Halverson says nothing but good things about you guys. And so again, we hope to inspire people, because asserting treaties is not a crime. It's a crime to deny them. And that's what we need to keep having conversations about. And that'll actually help us move past land acknowledgments if we honored those treaties.
Yeah, you know, I like what you say in the past, too, is the treaties are not just for natives or for everybody.
Right. Again, you know, I can't stress it enough. We are all treaty people. Their ancestors signed them with our ancestors. And again, back to that thing about the horse in your first segment today, you know, well, I didn't do it. It was my grandpa. Well, if your grandpa taught you the right lessons in life, you're going to understand that taking something is not okay. And you can ask for forgiveness and you can do right by giving it back, you know. Mm-hmm. So we have to remind our allies that if they are still benefiting from those treaties, they still have that obligation that their grandparents had. And it doesn't go away, because treaties aren't artifacts. They're breathing or living, breathing documents that still exist. And that's why we work so hard to do what we do here in northern Minnesota, because we want to remind people that we can live in peace and we can create a future where we can all thrive. And we could do that out of mutual respect and self-determination for the tribal nations and our sovereignty as individuals. It's got to count for something. So again, we're going to show up, especially in the political world, and remind them, Robert, that we're still here.
Right. And I think with the way education has been about us natives in particular over the last almost 500 years, it's good that you are out there speaking your truth. And it's good because our white allies out there need to listen to this and hear this too. And they're always excited to learn and come in a good way. So bravo to you and all the work you've done, Nancy. And before we let you go, let our people, because we're all over the country here, let our people know kind of where you're located compared to the Twin Cities.
Oh, I'm a good 4 hours away. Is that how West Natives?
By the Crow.
Well, I am Leech Lake in northern Minnesota, and I'm a good 4 hour drive from the city, and I am actually close to the Red Lake Nation and the White Earth Nation. So here in our territory, we like to get together and cause good trouble, Robert.
Yes, good trouble. That's right. Hey, Nancy, your new organization, is there a Facebook or anything people can join and listen yet?
That'll be probably in the next 2 weeks, Robert. So, and then when we do have that ready, we're going to actually ask for financial support, because we need a little help, moving along. But we have one small grant to help deal with Talon Mining at Sandy Lake Reservation. And then I think, you know, moving forward, we're going to need some help, you know, to continue the work that we do. But regardless, with or without that money, Robert, we're still going to keep fighting the good fight, and that's who we are, and that's all that matters, really.
Wow. Well, Nancy, I just want to say a big peeny geegy. Thank you so much for coming on, and it's great seeing you again. And you know, till we meet again. Oh wah.
There you go.
All right. Take it easy. Wow, that was Nancy Bolio, And she's our water protector from up north. And what a great segment, Haley. What a great way to have her back and tell us what's going on. New organization, same issues. We'll be having updates again from Nancy, and in a good way.
Yes, I know. And there's stuff kicking off, too, with the Line 3 that, you know, we got to keep a close eye on and pay attention to that. So, yeah, we're very excited to have Nancy back.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so we got a show tomorrow, and then we're going to take the weekend off, but we're going to have, you know, some playbacks, and people at our home can still listen to us. And you can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, all those. And if you want to see what we look like, we're on YouTube, Facebook Live. It's a beautiful thing. Hey, if you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
Whether you're hanging out on State Street or hanging out on the lakes, thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Mad Radio 92.7 programming is produced live in the Solidarity Realty Studios. Solidarity Realty, there is an alternative.
You can read the reviews. Excellent service, outstanding food, fun environment. But why not enjoy Fajitas Tapas and Bar in Middleton yourself? Fajitas Tapas and Bar is open 4 to 10 Monday through Thursday, 11 to 10 Friday and Saturday, 4 to 9 Sunday. And though new, it's already a top 10 pick on Yelp. Find your unique flavor and fresh ingredients at Fajitas Tapas and Bar on the corner of Parmenter and University, downtown Middleton. Call 608-203-8048.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The morning show on WFHR. It's different.
You can choose your mood. You can choose to, well, you know what? I didn't get much sleep last night, but I'm still going to have a good day, or still
going to
give it all I can, or be in a good spirit when I do the morning show today.
That's what I do every day with you, too.
I was going to say, what, you mean my normal mood of what, mild contempt for everyone around me? Okay, yeah, that's usually what I'm doing, yeah.
Sarcasm extraordinaire.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. right here on Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is Locally Grown Radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.